This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good evening, Bahamas. This is Dr. Gregory Pinto, the human urologist, and this is The Urologist Speaks. Unfortunately, my co-host, Dr. Wesley Francis, is in the midst of an important cancer surgery, and he's not going to be joining me, so I'm going to be solo today. It's been an interesting few days in our nation, an interesting few weeks, and I would even extend that to an interesting few months. Our small little nation is at a crossroads where I'm always going to emphasize it. The health of the nation is the wealth of the nation. But however, if what does health mean if we don't have much of a nation to live in? If corruption, if crime, if violence is going to forever destroy our beautiful Bahamas, then we need to address that with urgency from every angle possible if we're going to save our nation. Obviously, we're a very unhealthy nation, but we're a very violent nation as well. We're a very angry society. Violence has become very commonplace. Hearing gunshot wounds, hearing about murders day and night involving persons known to the police, innocent bystanders, children, babies. It's taking a toll on all of us. At the end of my show last week, I was discussing with Dr. Wesley Francis the toll on the medical fraternity as a whole, the toll in the hospital, the toll in the medical system that violence and crime has had over the number of years. And I think I've had an interesting perspective as I've been in surgery at Princess Margaret Hospital at all levels. I was an intern. I was a senior house officer. I was a senior registrar, and then I went on to become a consultant. So I've been there and seen it all. I've seen the transformation of Princess Margaret, and unfortunately, it hasn't really in most areas gotten better, but unfortunately gotten a lot worse. And a lot of that has nothing to do with the administration, has nothing to do with PHA. It doesn't matter who the Minister of Health is at the moment or which government is in power. It has to do with the people. It has to do with the violence. It has to do with the crime. Dr. Francis mentioned as the head of surgery, previous head of surgery, he had to contend with the fact that the very talented and numerous orthopedic surgeons, all they can contend with was dealing with acts of violence and trauma. So elective surgery for many things, that includes benign tumors, correcting scoliosis, you name it, just could not be addressed because we were completely overwhelmed with, I've seen it week in and week out, where we would have elective cases booked many times months in advance, and trauma would come in, and obviously life is the most important thing, and if a case, and we deem it as a red case, it cannot wait. Obviously, all the elective cases are going to be postponed, and it just began to mushroom out of control. So the violence would never stop. I remember maybe 2 years ago in the midst of the COVID-19 pandemic, there was gang warfare, and the toll on all of us, the toll on the police, the toll on the nurses, the emergency that have to come out in the middle of the night to try and save lives of persons that some of them were innocent, some of them were not. But we as surgeons, we as medical providers, we are not there to judge. We just need to save a life, and we'll leave God to judge and the courts to judge them. But many of them would come in with ankle bracelets, monitoring devices. That would be the common thing. And many of them, we know them. We look at their history. They were shot 3 years ago. They were shot 2 years ago. We would see the names in the files, and I would remember seeing them on the television brought before the courts, or reading the newspaper that they were charged with three murders, or their attempted murder, or armed robbery, and they're still out on the streets, and they still somehow get a hold of weapons. This has to change. It can't be, the justice system can't be a revolving door where there are no repercussions for actions, where life has to have meaning. There has to be consequences. I'm not talking necessarily about capital punishment or an eye for an eye, but there has to be some justice. You can't just take somebody from their family, from the community, from their friends, and have no repercussions. You're home with your family. Maybe you're on remand for 2 years, but because the system is a bottleneck, and they're to actually bring before the courts. That's a matter of fact, and the criminals know that. So they know that even if they get caught, they're going to be out. Maybe 5-7 years later, they're going to come to court. They're going to get the best lawyers, and many of them get off, or they get off on appeal. So it's a very troubling situation. But from the perspective as a surgeon, and as I mentioned, I've been there on many levels, I can see the toll on my colleagues. I can see the toll that it takes financially and physically on the actual establishment, on Princess Margaret Hospital. There's only so many units of blood available. There are only so many intensive care unit beds available. And if we're going to fill them up with persons who are going to drive drunk and crash into a lamppost and be in ICU for 3 months and be in and out of surgery taken by general surgeons and orthopedic surgeons and use endless resources to get them back to health, how are we going to contend with trying to take patients in for cancer surgeries or for elective surgeries? How is anyone going to get a hernia operation if the system can? So we need to stop this violence. We need to stop. There has to be some way that we can save these young boys, and they're unfortunately males are the culprits in most cases. Save them before they become the next generation of criminals. Save them when they're 5 years old. Save them when they're 8 years old. Show them a different path. Show them that getting into a gang is the wrong way to go. Showing that violence, whether it's towards their spouse, towards their friends, their colleagues, is not the answer. We need to have some form of intervention to save our young men, or we're not going to have a future generation. So going on and talking about the toll, and it can be exasperating, and it's disheartening to see the amount of criminal activity in the society and the acts of violence that lead to the basically, I would say PMH in the medical system is it's basically on its knees, because we cannot contend with this level of violence. We cannot contend with gunshots and persons we're trying to save at all hours of the day, abandoning elective procedures, using, as I mentioned, blood products that we don't have. And although we have, for our population, we have a number of intensive care units. We have wonderful trained intensive care nurses. We have wonderful anesthetists and intensivists who can rival anyone in the world. But if we don't have a bed to put somebody in because they have advanced cancer, we don't have a bed for a sick child who's critically ill, that's a very sad state of affairs for our nation. We have innocent because persons who have no regard for society, no regard for rules, who live their life with lawlessness, are basically imploding the system and not allowing the good people, the good citizens, the contributing members of society, to have any form of health care. And I don't know what the answer is going to be. It's above my pay grade. All I can do is patch up as many of these victims as possible. But this onslaught has to stop. And I saw it many years ago when I decided to go off for training. I had many opportunities to go either to North America or United Kingdom or to Europe, even Australia. But I chose to go to Cape Town, South Africa, because I knew many of the best surgeons in the world go there, and it's because of the opportunity to operate. Because where I went to a place called Groote Schuur Hospital, which is world famous. It is the place of the world's first successful heart transplant by Christian Barnard in 1967. It also is very innovative in many firsts. So it had the blend of having first world technology. In my department in urology, we had a Da Vinci robot. We had endless laparoscopic equipment. Minimally invasive surgery would be our go-to, and open surgery would be secondary. So we were cutting edge in many ways. In fact, one of my professors, Andre van der Merwe, who actually trained in the same surgical urology residency as myself, and went on to become a professor and one of my professors and a mentor to me. He actually did world penile transplant. This was a African, a black male who had lost his male member, his penis, to infection, to gangrene. And he actually received a donated penis from a Caucasian male. And the surgery went wonderfully. In fact, it went on a note. They actually had to tattoo so that because of the lack of melanin, he wanted to make sure that the donated penis actually matched the skin color of the black male. But that man went on to have successful erections, went on to have a successful marriage, went on to have two children. So that just, on a side note, brings up the point that I always like to say, no matter what, you can always rise again. No matter what the circumstances, whether it's because of diabetes or cholesterol or because of a previous surgery or many other things that can cause to lead to erectile dysfunction, even profound erectile dysfunction for even decades, there are things that can be done, a glimmer of hope. That's a shining light in the darkness for men, where you can look it up. And I was there to witness it. And I was there to witness this man in recovery and see what he was able to do with his donated penis. If a man can lose his actual penis and then actually get a transplant and then regain excellent erections, and not only that, go on to procreate and have children, anything is possible. So if you're frustrated and you're depressed because of male infertility, and that's a topic in itself, if you feel like you're a failure to a man, so anything is possible. If you haven't had an erection in 8 years, use that story as some glimmer of hope that no matter what, you can always rise again with medical technology. No matter what, if you've been trying 10 years to have a child, there is a way to get your partner pregnant. So always give up. Never give up hope. Please never give up hope. So just even in personal note, I always will applaud first line responders. To imagine someone to drive an ambulance into a situation where it's a hot crime scene, where you just witness someone getting shot and you're called in and you're there to try to save the person. They're putting their life in peril. They're dealing with frantic bystanders and relatives and everything else. So my hat will always go off to them. The greatest respect to them. Greatest respect to those in the emergency room who see more trauma. Life is basically trauma because of the way our society has become, unfortunately, where the nurses, the staff there, the emergency room physicians, they have to deal with the most difficult of circumstances, whether any form of trauma, whether it's a car accident, whether it's a fall on a construction site, whether it's a near drowning, shark attack, gunshot wound, stab wound, car accident, motor vehicle versus pedestrian. They see a lot of trauma. And I went through it myself when I was training in Cape Town, South Africa. I would say that I probably saw more trauma than I would have seen if I was a surgeon in the U.S. Army in Iraq or Afghanistan, because there was no end to the trauma. And that's one of the reasons I went to Cape Town, South Africa as well, because I wanted to have trauma training. I saw that our society was getting more and more violent. I wanted to be able to have as much trauma experience as possible. And I saw that in terms of persons coming to my hospital in Cape Town, South Africa, for fellowships from all around the world, from Australia, from California, United States, from New York, from Canada, from the United Kingdom, because they would never find the trauma experience that you would have in South Africa, unfortunately. It's a very, very violent society where, as a urologist, every single night you would see a gunshot to the kidney. You would see a stab wound to the kidney. It's not if you're going to see it, it's how many you're going to see. You're going to see some trauma to the penis. It's just inevitable. Many times it's a gunshot. Many times it's there's a thing such as community assault. So essentially in South Africa, which is very commonplace, there's essentially street justice. So if they find committed armed robbery within the community, there'll be 20, 30, 40 persons within the community beating this individual senseless, trying to do a penectomy, to cut off his penis. They'll be trying to put barbed wire on him and set him on fire. So I became an expert at multi-trauma. I became an expert at crush injuries, but I saw the worst of humanity, and I'm slowly seeing that happened to my beautiful country, and it greatly saddens me. And we need to turn the tide. Just in terms of what we put ourselves through. So imagine a surgeon being on call, and you call at 3 o'clock in the morning. You call at 4 o'clock in the morning. A surgeon puts himself at risk, because the average individual in this country is not going to go out willingly, regularly, 3 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, and that's what a surgeon has to do. And we put ourselves at our life and our life in peril to try to save lives and try to provide a service to our community. But it's not an easy one, and it's not the safest one. So we go out in the middle of the night, we leave our family, we have to worry about our family being safe, because our society is not a safe one. Our loved ones, our spouses are worried. They're not sleeping because they don't know if we're going to make it home safe. So we need to give respect to the physicians for what they go through. I think they're, and the nurses as well, even more so the nurses. They're actually unsung heroes in our society, and a lot of them get the brunt of a lot of anger, a lot of disrespect. They're not given their due for what they go through. There's always a saying, you never know what a man is or in his shoes. So to know that you're going out to save somebody and you're getting threatened by family members, this person better live, although they may have been shot 7 times, doing no matter who knows what, or even the counter. I've been the brunt of it, and I've seen my colleagues. You'll have somehow the persons who committed the assault coming into to the hospital and threatening you, you better not save this individual. I've had colleagues who were almost kidnapped or actually at gunpoint coming out in the Princess Margaret parking lot. Never saw anything in the newspaper about it. Never saw anything in the media about it. There's one individual who commonly comes out in the middle of the night to save individuals who were shot as a surgeon. And he himself came out to do such a thing. And he was held at gunpoint in the Princess Margaret Hospital parking lot, held in someone's car at gunpoint. And the only reason he was able to escape is because when they were going to take him to an ATM to try to force him to withdraw money, the two culprits were arguing as to how much money each one of them were going to take from him. And at that moment, they were distracted. He ran out of the car. I've seen female colleagues, obstetricians, surgeons, running for their lives in because men came after them with a gun. So we go through a lot. This is a very violent society, but nurses, physicians, surgeons, we persevere. And I would like just to say, not for myself, but for my colleagues, and I think I applaud them, I respect them. They don't always get the due respect. If we look at, even as a surgeon at Princess Margaret Hospital, even within the urology department, when I was there, we had two urologists, so we were on call half our life. 24/7, half our life we were on call. And we didn't even have what we would call a registrar, a senior registrar. So there was no buffer where moderate complexity cases can be done by someone who has some training in urology. Basically, we just had a senior house officer who basically would triage the case, try to stabilize the patient, and then just call us out. So anytime in surgical training, there's a hierarchy. So obviously, you do the grunt work when you're a junior surgeon, and then you're in the middle there, and then you're up at the top, and then the consultant only have to be consultant when you have the most complex of cases or you want to aid someone who's less senior. But unfortunately, in the urology department, there were no juniors and everything fell on us. So if at 4 o'clock in the morning they couldn't get a catheter in, I would have to come out. Or my colleague, Dr. Stevens, would have to come out. And that would happen all the time. Or I'm in the middle of my private practice with 40 patients in the office and something happens and I just have to drop everything and run. And if we will look at how much I was paid, or how much the surgeons or obstetricians or others are paid for being on call, it amounts to less than minimum wage. So a lot of persons will think, oh, surgeons are rich, or obstetricians are rich, and they have the life of leisure. We are basically providing a service for our people, for the love of our people, for less than minimum wage, and not many people would do that. So as I said, the greatest respect to them, but we need to turn the tide. We're never going to succeed as a nation if violence and crime are from within and taking all the resources. It's horrible to see that we got police officers on the front line who are struggling to pay for university for their daughter or their son, and we have to spend millions of dollars trying to save armed robbers and murderers and the millions of dollars it takes to try these individuals. Can we not try and save the next generation and save those who are already on the wrong path from becoming these armed robbers, from becoming these rapists, from becoming these criminals, from becoming these drug addicts? If we don't, our situation is just going to get worse and worse. I remember looking the other day on YouTube, and it just happened, it came up, looking at the statistic in terms of per capita, which countries in the world have the highest murder rate per capita. And it really hurt my heart as a Bahamian to see us, and it went from 1995 all the way to 2024, and to see us in the top 10, the top 12, the top 15, all those years. And just as the years went by, we got higher and higher and higher. So, I mean, statistically speaking, if any nation in the world, we statistically have one of the highest likelihoods of being murdered than anywhere in the world. And that is absolutely shocking. We have such a small nation. In terms of population, we're similar to Barbados, but Barbados doesn't have this violence. Barbados doesn't have this murder rate, this armed robbery rate, this high rate of rapes. So what is it within our society where we're supposed to be a Christian nation? Where we're supposed to be a God-fearing nation, where we have a high level of education, where we spend as much money or more healthcare than any other nation in the Caribbean. Why is it that we are such a violent society? Why are criminals basically running our nation in terms of a law-abiding citizen being afraid to even go out in the evening to hang out their clothes because they're afraid of being assaulted, or afraid to go out in the night to enjoy a dinner with our loved ones because we know when we go to the parking lot, we're at risk of being robbed? It's a frightening perspective, and it's a very sad one as well. So I would like this to be an interactive show. Unfortunately, my host is not here. You can call us at 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 326-4259 or call toll-free from the Family Islands at 242-300-5720. So we'll talk further on the other end of the break. This is Urologist Speaks.
Loss of family members is very isolating, and people who have experienced loss appreciate when others have shared their grief. If you can't be there in person, go to the Nassau Guardian's website online at thenassauguardian.com and visit our obituary link. The Nassau Guardian's interactive obituary link allows you to read the funeral announcement, express condolences, or place photos on the online guestbook for one full year. Losing a loved one is painful, but that pain isn't the worst thing to happen. Friends, loved ones, colleagues, and neighbors who ignore the loss compound the pain. Should the bereaved family wish to place the obituary and photos on our obituary site, just contact the Guardian's funeral industry partners or the Nassau Guardian. Remember, there is a magic right thing to say to someone experiencing loss that will make the loss less painful or easier to bear. The Nassau Guardian's obituary link, available online at thenassauguardian.com.
Get ready for the second annual Candy Cane Carnival, brought to you by Nassau Cruise Port, December the 7th, from 11 a.m. until 7 p.m. This free holiday event is perfect for the entire family. Enjoy sweet treats, fun games, and amazing performances by the All-Star Band, Royal Bahamas Police Force, Rhythm and Youth, St. John's College Choir, Bloody and the Scotch Conk Band, and more. This Saturday, meet us at the Candy Cane Carnival at Nassau Cruise Port, the place to be.
Always on the go? Missed a show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Back. This is Urologist Speaks with the Amy Urologist, Dr. Gregory Pinto. We were speaking about the horrible toll that crime and violence our medical system and has our medical system on its knees, and very valuable resources spent, unfortunately, trying to undo the crime situation in this country, and it's just getting worse, and it's just getting worse. I'll read a text message. It must be of the spirit if we are to save the flesh. It's the mindset of our people. So I agree with that. We need to change our mindset completely. We need to stop accepting violence. We need to stop accepting criminality. And it starts within the family. It starts within the home. These armed robbers, these rapists, these gang members, they live in a home. They have family members, but anytime before when they're brought before the courts or they're shot in retaliation when they're on four murders or three attempted murders and two actual murders, we're always seeing in the media, it's very common, oh my good son. Everybody knows he was not a good son. So why did you not raise him to be a good son who respected life, who respected laws, who respected the community, that provided a positive influence on this community? So you live by the gun, you die with the gun, unfortunately. And violence sows violence. But if we're going to turn a blind eye and it's going to be commonplace to see murders every single day, our society is not going to be much of a society. And everyone's going to start leaving. We're going to use every opportunity. And I've seen that with Jamaica and other nations. They're going to use education to try to go on to a place with safety. I mentioned I trained in Cape Town, South Africa, and I chose that place because of the violence and the trauma that I would get exposed to, trauma surgery. But I also went and did a fellowship in super speciality in Strasbourg, France, and Hamburg, Germany. And they had no trauma there, absolutely no trauma, particularly in Germany, where the residents, the professors, they never saw a gunshot wound. They never saw a stab wound. So mankind is not made to be murderers. I mean, there are ways that we can have a civil society. I have a call coming in. Good evening. This is Urologist Speaks.
Good evening, Dr. Pinto. How are you?
I'm very well, ma'am.
I know you. I know you remember me, but I know you very well. I used to be assistant operating theater, BMH.
I know the voice, yes, and I know who you
yes,
are.
Yes, Sister Smith.
Yes, yes. How are you, ma'am?
Right. This is a great show.
I appreciate it. Well, I think you'd be, being there so many years, you would see the amount of violence and trauma that comes through that operating theater and the toll it takes on the medical staff and the drain on the resources. You'd be the opportune person to speak on that.
That's right. All the things you're saying is so true. It is draining all the resources. And, you know, I know about, we have to be on call. And I know about leaving out of my house. Sometimes my husband have to put the two children in the car and take me up there and then come back home in the night to come, you know, because somebody shoot up somebody or somebody chop somebody or something, and then, you know, you have other cases going on, which, you know, you always have those cesarean sections and stuff like that. And so, you know, I know about those things. And what we got for on being on call, pittance, I mean, we absolutely got nothing. It was just a couple of people paid nothing. And sometimes I know about being there all night and leaving and coming home after 7 o'clock in the morning and getting dressed and going back there and being there till after 4 or 5 in the evening.
Yeah, it's a terrible toll. And as a nurse, I applaud you. God has a special place for you in the afterlife. And it's, I cannot even put into words what we go through sometimes on a daily basis and a nightly basis in terms of the trauma and the toll and the emotions involved in it, to see so much death, to see so much destruction, to see the worst of mankind, to see the amount of hate and anger out there and the disregard for life. It's heartbreaking, particularly for a God-fearing society.
I never thought that I would see this, you know what I mean? Because I'm a senior citizen now. And I never thought in all my life that I would see it come down to this. That, I mean, but you know something? You said something very important. You talked about the South Africa and how it was so violent there and the things that they do. And you went there so you could get experience, and you surely would get it there. Like you said, you got it there. And you spoke about going to Germany. And what was the other place you said?
France.
France, right. Germany and France. And you said they didn't even see a gunshot wound. Did you know the difference?
Very much so. So it's a different society. It's a calmer society where you worry about elective things. You worry about picking up cancers
and
early.
Different, you know, it's sad to have to say this, but a different you, different color you.
Unfortunately, I think it's more than that. But yes, this society is a very angry society. I mean, there are nations with our particular hue who are not as violent as we are.
You know what we need to go back to? We need to go back to basics. Like you say, you have to try to save the children. Let me tell you something. When we were growing up, you had to have respect for everyone. You had to have respect, of course, in your home, definitely for your parents. You had to have respect for your brothers and sisters. You had to have respect for the people, your neighbors. You had to have respect for people See, let me tell you something. Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. Please. Thank you. Yes, sir. No, sir. Don't change.
I agree.
Basics don't change. And we have lost this. We have lost. I mean, your children went to church with their parents, and they went into the Sunday school while the adults were in the church. This don't happen anymore. Even at home, we had to have some evenings. We had a little Bible study our parents did with us in the home. These things don't happen anymore. We were afraid those days. We said, if we do something that, you know, we were going to be punished, God would punish us. We were afraid. Now they're afraid of nothing. Some of them never even heard about God. Some of them never heard about Bible readings. And it's sad to say I didn't even realize that until a teacher told me that. So you would be surprised the amount of children who never read the Bible, don't know certain things about the Bible. But we grow up on these things. And another thing we were afraid of, too, we were afraid that we were going to hurt our parents when we did wrong. Now, I'm not saying that we were holier than thou art, and I'm not saying that we did not make mistakes. I'm not saying that because we made part the things that are happening today. I never thought I would see this, Dr. Pinto.
Yeah, we need to turn the tide, and the time for change is right now. It's never too late, but if we continue down this road, then we're not going to have a nation for our future generations. That's for sure. Not a nation that we would want to live in.
No, we have to save the children. We have to save the children. This place is to be such a beautiful place to live in. Everybody wanted to come here. Everybody say, why, where you live? What? I would love to live there. People wanted to come here. They wanted to stay here. We wanted to stay here. We didn't want to go anywhere. I had opportunities to go away too. You know, especially when you go to those conferences, they're looking for nurses. And I had opportunities. They'd be calling you and asking you, will you want to go and be a fly? And it's the last one I was not going to do because I don't like flying that much. And then, they want you to come and they would school your children. They would get a job for your husband. All these things were offered. But you know what? I wanted to be home. I wanted to be with my people. The pay was not what it should be. But still, yes, I cared for my patients. There was you look at your patients and you see them at their lowest, and you want to be there for them. You know, people don't realize that when you're sick, you're at your lowest. And this is the time when you need somebody to be sympathetic, when you need somebody who's going to be kind to you. But today, it's sad that those things are missing. They're missing. What has gone wrong?
It's very true. And I even take it further. If we go on almost any ward in Princess Margaret at this time, you'll see somebody shackled to a bed with police guards. And I would always think about it, even in clinics. Every single clinic, we would see four prisoners coming in shackled from the ankles, shackled with handcuffs, at least 6 or 7 armed guards. And I would always think, you have one bad man and you have 6 or 7 men, good men, that have to spend their time on shifts trying to protect the society and guard this horrible individual. Imagine if we could have stopped this individual from becoming that horrible individual. The amount of resources we'd be able to save and save our nation. So there are so many persons who go to the hospital, need a bed, and we got prisoners, we got persons on remand, we got armed robbers shackled to beds that are taking up beds because they've been shot multiple times or stabbed or taking up beds for weeks and months on end. And
that's right.
And good people cannot get a bed.
Honest
people. God-fearing people, people who have given 40 years of their life in teaching, in nursing, even physicians, and they can't even get a bed or they can't get a spot on an operating list. And it's a tragedy.
That's right. It's a tragedy. And, you know, to save the children, we got to go back to basics with the children.
Yes.
We have to teach children how to, you know, to learn. They have to learn about God. They have to learn, you know, what a Christian... You know, we say we are a Christian nation. We're not a Christian nation. We are a religious nation.
Very much
Very
so.
Very religious. But Christian, my foot.
You know, it's a problem on many levels, yes. So, I mean, even in a perfect society where the policing is perfect, where the judiciary is perfect, we cannot contend with bringing before the courts 130 persons on charges of murder or more. It's just inconceivable. So our system is overwhelmed. It's completely overwhelmed, and it's not getting any better.
No.
But I thank you for your wonderful call and your insight. It's very much appreciated. But yes, you, the nurses are unsung heroes, and I've seen it myself over the years. We are losing dozens and dozens, and it's getting even to the hundreds of the best nurses to the United States, to Canada. And it's getting worse. I mean, I've seen some such talented nurses being poached and taken abroad, and I can't blame them. They can give their life. They can have a better quality of life for themselves. It provides better economic opportunities for themselves and for their children, and a better educational path and better life for their husbands and et cetera. But we need to do better for our nurses, and I'll be the first one to champion that. We need to do better for financially. We need, even in the Princess Margaret Hospital, we need a proper break room. They need a place to rest. They need a place to have a coffee, to converse with fellow nurses. And sitting in the little corner trying to eat a sandwich is not the way that we should be treating our unsung heroes who are the nurses. So I can go on, and those who are tearing our society apart with criminality are not going to be listening to me, and they don't read the newspaper. But I think hopefully those in power can listen, that there are people who care, and those are, and persons who work in the healthcare, those who work in the local clinics, those who work in Princess Margaret Hospital, truly they're doing wonderful jobs in the very, very difficult circumstances. You can only see so much trauma. I've seen the worst of humanity. I'll go on a personal note. In South Africa, I've seen things that no one should see. There was, in certain sectors of community, there was a belief that South Africa is known to have a very high rate of HIV and AIDS. And there was a belief in certain sectors of society that if you were to rape, and I mean that rape a newborn, you can cure yourself of AIDS or cure yourself of HIV. And it was beyond heartbreaking to be on in the emergency room, to be on trauma call, and we have to take in a three-month-old for diverting their colon and colostomy because the trauma done to their vagina or trauma done to their rectum. It's a sickening society, and I don't want to see our society get to that level of depravity. I don't want to see our society get to the level of where there's community justice, where if you want to get justice for a rapist, the whole community has to come out. And we're going down that road where we're going to have persons that should never have been released who are on remand. And I know from both aspects, I know criminals that come to see me as patients. I know police who see me as patients. And the police are very frustrated. I mean, they'll be caught with the guns. They'll be shot at by these criminals. And yet, because of our court systems, they're put on an ankle monitoring bracelet, which I don't know what that does, because I've seen too many persons come in who are being shot with an ankle bracelet, or being shot by police because they were robbing somebody or attempting to murder somebody on ankle bracelet. So I don't know what the ankle bracelet really does. I've seen persons come in with penile injuries from Inagua on an ankle bracelet where had a fractured penis, and they weren't supposed to leave the jurisdiction of New Providence. So I don't know what the alert system is with these ankle bracelets, but it's heartbreaking. And it's a revolving door. We'd be patching up these, taking these gunshot victims, saying with police guards in their presence, just patch me up, because once I get on the street, I'm gonna take justice into my own hands. And many times you'll see them come in shot dead, or you'll see that who they said they were going to kill, they went and killed. This is a very violent society. And to know that someone who has lived their life, had a good life, has contributed to the society, and they're sharing a bed on Princess Margaret Hospital right next to the worst of society. it's a terrible situation. It's an absolute terrible, heartbreaking situation. How we're going to change that, I'm not sure. It's not going to be a simple solution, but we all need to come together. There are too many good, and we way outnumber the bad. We can't let the bad control our society. We can't let the bad control our future. We can't be afraid to go outside our door. We can't be barricading our house like we're in Fox Hill Prison, trying to prevent people coming in the middle of the night. We'll talk further on the other end of the break. This is Urologist Speak with Dr. Gregory Pinto.
Boy, you know what's going down tomorrow?
Nobody, what happening?
Joe bringing the knife to school? He could do Junior in?
For what?
Boy, he fooled with Joe girl.
Mother sick. And you know Junior don't back down for nothing. So that means you got a big fight tomorrow.
So whose side you on?
Side? I trying to stay in school, not Simpson fan. You gotta tell somebody about this fight.
Tell somebody? I ain't no snitch. I mean cool, you know.
Boy, if you so cool, stay fight.
Yeah, but if I don't hang on Joe's side, him and he boys coming for me next.
All right, so we definitely gotta tell somebody. We gotta prevent the fight.
What I say? I don't want nobody call me snitch.
We could just call Crime Stoppers. You could report what you know. And nobody gotta know it's you.
So how do I wait?
All you gotta do is call them, or you text them through the Crack Crime Bahamas app, and nobody can know it's you.
Then the police come looking for me for more info, and when they finish with them, Joe them coming looking for me?
When you call Crime Stoppers, the calls go directly to Miami, and they don't ask nothing about you. Then you can get the pen from them, and you can claim a reward later using that same pen.
Plus, everything's scrambled, so nobody can read what you're saying.
Calls 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Get ready for the second annual Candy Cane Carnival, brought to you by Nassau Cruise Port, December the 7th, from 11 a.m. until 7 p.m. This free holiday event is perfect for the entire family. Enjoy sweet treats, fun games, and amazing performances by the All-Star Band, Royal Bahamas Police Force, Rhythm and Youth, St. John's College Choir, Lottie and the Scotch Conk Band, and more. This Saturday, meet us at the Candy Cane Carnival at Nassau Cruise Port, the place to be.
You try to rest for all your indies, there ain't no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers, for window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Welcome back. This is Urologist Speaks with the Bahamian urologist, Dr. Gregory Pinto. We're talking about the sad state of affairs in our country, the dilemma our nation is having, and that we're at a crossroads. I was speaking a little bit about my experience in terms of my perspective on basically the crushing effect in terms of staff, in terms of resources, that violence and crime and trauma is having, particularly on the Princess Margaret Hospital, but healthcare as a whole in the Bahamas. I can remember I've seen so many stab wounds, so many gunshots here, abroad, but particularly a few cases that bring to light. Obviously, when you see a child 3 years old shot in the head by a stray bullet, that really hits you, and that feeling never leaves you. What kind of society do we live in? And then to know they catch the individual, they have all the evidence against him, and that person's going to be on bail or skips the country on bail. I mean, what kind of judiciary system do we have? That's absolutely heartbreaking. I remember a case of a person came in from San Salvador, a woman who had been stabbed, as I recall, at least 12 times, stabbed in the head, stabbed in the chest, stabbed in the abdomen, And it was done by her husband, who happened to come on the air ambulance with her, with the police officer. And this man was all repentant. He's saying that, sorry, he stabbed his wife. And he, in a matter of anger, a moment of anger, he tried to kill her and try to do everything to save her. And I, none of us thought she would live. I mean, she was in surgery for, I think, 10 hours. We used at least 25 units of blood. She was in ICU for at least 2 months. We had to take her into surgery multiple times throughout those 2 months. I conclusively can say she probably cost the Bahamian government and the healthcare system at least $500,000-$600,000, not to mention the untold indirect effect of her taking up a bed, the amount of staff resources used to try and save her. And I'm glad at the end of the day she did live. But then it went before the courts, and the husband got off by the verdict, unanimously found not guilty. I cannot understand that. I remember the police officer was there. He said he had the knife. The husband said that he stabbed her. They were the only ones at home. The wife said that husband tried to kill her. How can someone get off from doing that and there's no repercussions for anything? So anything can happen in this nation. It's heartbreaking. I don't want to move. I don't want to regret coming back after I train and specialize, but something has to happen. I'll read another text message. We often speak about the good old days. If they were so good, why don't we return to them? One country, Australia, is banning children under 16 from certain social media platforms. As the saying goes, without vision, the people perish, and my people die from a lack of knowledge. Very true and very wise words. So it's a very, very difficult situation. It's not going to change in a day. But at least we can change the future now by trying to stop the future generation from going down the path of those who are lost and lawless. And it starts from now. And I always say, you don't wait till they're 15 or 16. You don't wait till they're 18 years old. You start when they're 4. You start when they're 5. You start when they're 6. Give them a sense of community, respect for their elders. Give them a belief in God. Give them a belief in themselves. Give them a purpose. Give them a future that they can strive for. Give them something to believe in. Let them believe in their nation. Let them want to uplift the nation. And it's just small things. Stop littering. If you're 5 years old, don't teach your son to litter. Don't show him that the correct way in life is to show violence or emotional diatribes or tirades against their mother, because they're going to become the same. They're going to grow up to be abusers. They're going to grow up to be disrespectful. They're going to be see violence as a rite of passage into manhood, because that's all they've seen from their uncle, from their grandfather, from their father. And we got to stop that. Women themselves need to take a stand. They cannot sustain or accept violence because the untold harm it's doing on themselves, on their psyche, their future, and also on the children who witness it themselves. Those children are going to grow up with traumatic stress disorder. They're going to grow up emotionally scarred. So please, if you're abused, seek help. If you're an abuser, seek help. If you're trying to look for solace in the bottom of a bottle, or try and take drugs to numb the pain that you're going through, there are numerous counselors, psychiatrists, psychologists, support groups out there that can get you on the right path, get you on the path of righteousness and light. It's never too late. Never give in to despair. Do not let depression define you. We always talk about men not wanting to go and seek help for their health issues. Certainly, they're not going to go seek help for their emotional well-being or their psychological issues or their mental trauma. And all they do is they're taught to bottle it up inside, and then one day it just takes something to trigger them, and they're going to grab a gun, they're going to grab a knife, they're going to ball their fists, they're going to hit the wrong person. They're going to destroy their family. They're going to destroy their career. They're going to change the path of their life to one that they never would have chosen if they hadn't had that one moment of anger. And I always say that. Most of the prisons around the world, not just in Fox Hill, are filled with men who, in just one instant, 1 minute, 30 seconds, chose the wrong thing. They let anger overcome them. They did the wrong thing in the wrong moment, and they'll just never recover. They could have lived a wonderful life, for the most part, up until that moment, and they had bottled up anger. They didn't know how to deal with their emotions, and it was just a fuse that went off, and they can't take back that moment. They can't undo what they did. So let's find an outlet for those who are suffering, and all of our community is suffering, whether you're suffering from sleepless nights because a month ago you had tried to break into your home, and every little noise, you're waking up to try to protect your family, or you feel like a prison within your home or a prison within your own community. And it's reached the point where it's not even nightness. These criminals go out in the middle of the day and commit senseless crimes with blatant disregard for anything or any repercussions. So we can't be our own, let our fears control our life. We can't let fear and crime control the path of our nation and let it go downhill. And let's just change what we're doing. Let's just try to change the next generation. And it's never too late. And it just takes that one individual to change another individual and change another individual. Pay it forward. If you have the time, try and be a role model. Try and do the small things. Try and save someone that you see going down the wrong path. And it doesn't have to be alone. I mean, if you see that your nephew is going down the wrong path, rope in your grandfather, rope in your father, rope in your pastor. Never just say deem them as no good and a bad apple and never amount to anything. That's not going to change anything, because in the most perfect of situations where someone goes down the wrong path, commits a crime, and they are sentenced to a term in prison, eventually they're going to have to come out into our society. And what is their future after that? No one's going to want to hire them because of their police record. No one's going to want to accept them back in the community because they know of their violent or criminal path. So they basically live their life on the fringe of society, trying to go back to criminality because that's all they know, and just to survive. So if we can stop that from happening, if we can not just punish these persons for their crimes, but rehabilitate them, give them a positive light, give them a positive future, give them a trade, give them an education, allow them to learn how to read, give them self-respect, then hopefully we can change even the lives of those who went down the most horrible of paths, and maybe they can change members of their own community so they can speak on what they did wrong in the community, what 10 years in prison was like. Stop glorifying it through rap songs and television and movies. It's a living hell. Even as an intern, I did a rotation through psychiatry in San Lins, and we would visit the prisons, and the amount of despair that I would see and the inhumanity there, it's you have to defecate in a bucket, and you got eight men in a small little cramped cell, and a lot of these men are sexually abuse themselves and go through all sorts of abuse. So you don't want to go down that living hell. Trust me. Crime does not pay. You don't want to go in Fox Hill Prison. You don't want to turn your life to the negative. There's so much positivity out there. There's so much opportunity. Education can take you. It's limitless in terms of where education can take you. It can take you from the depths of poverty to the heights of society and to see the world and experience the greatest of things. So make that sacrifice if you're a young man. Don't worry if your friends and your young boys in your school or in your class are going to tease you relentlessly or call you soft or call you nerd. Or just think about it this way. In 20 years, if you stick with the books, you get your education, you get your profession, you get your career, you're likely going to be in a position where those same individuals who are calling you nerd and sissy and soft 20 years before are coming to you for a job. Your education can provide so many opportunities, even for in terms of the woman that you're going to marry. If you're an educated man, a confident man, you're going to be able to have a wife better than your wildest dreams. So even use that as a motivation. And I'll say that I'm an individual who's experienced that. So always shoot for the stars, even if you don't reach that ultimate goal. Even if you fall short, you're still in the realm of greatness. Never give up hope. Never let despair control your life. Even if you can turn that path around and go on the path to righteousness and goodness. So I want to save my nation. I'm trying to do it one radio show at a time. But we as a nation need to come together, and we need to change the path of that we're going down. Criminality cannot be the rule of the day. Corruption cannot be so pervasive in our society that nobody wants to live here anymore. That it's just too commonplace that there are no repercussions for it. We can't let a few bad apples destroy the hundreds of thousands of good people in our community. So it's a pleasure for you to have tuned in today. I'm going to speak in the future. I wanted to talk a little bit about the abnormal that has become too normal in our society, and I'll give a few examples that I want to speak of in the future. Women wearing panty liners and pads because they just leak urine all the time, or they can't make it to the toilet in time. Men having to drive with a container to urinate into, and that's become their norm, and that's an accepting thing to them. Men waking up so many times in the night to urinate that they have a bucket at the side of the bed. Or even women who just are so fatigued from waking up every 30, 40 minutes, 60 minutes to urinate that they have a bucket on the side of the bed. You don't have to live with indignity. Never let the bladder control your life. Never let the bladder rob you of your happiness and your pride and your dignity and your quality of life. Stop thinking it's normal to stop drinking any liquids at 5 or 6 o'clock in the night, because if you know you drink anything, you're going to be waking up all night to urinate. The ill health effects of that, in terms of even going to bed dehydrated, the risk that you're going to put yourself for even kidney stones because of dehydration. Stop thinking that the abnormal is the normal. You shouldn't have to live like that. If you think something's abnormal, then seek help. There are too many men in this country that, because of false pride, would rather live with the indignity of driving with a cup to urinate into, or living their life basically driving and always stopping over the side of the road to urinate behind a tree. They'd rather have that indignity than to come to a professional who's heard it all. The whole mantra of a physician is that everything is said within the confines of an office stays within the office. So let's do better, Bahamas. Let's do better in terms of mental health, psychological health, physical health, and we can have a brighter future. It's been a pleasure to speak with you tonight, and have a good evening, Bahamas.
Don't be ashamed. It's time to take control. Get some help from the urologist.
You will find
he'll help you solve your problems
on 96.9.
I tell you, with early detection
comes early prevention.
Put lead in your pencil, make you feel like a champion.
Rise up again.
Let nothing keep you down. Live your